we don't accuse us of getting ahead of ourselves here. In the first hour of Issues Etc. today, we're going to jump forward a little bit in the season of Lent to Good Friday, to the Passion of Christ. And we're going to do this in a musical fashion, according to J.S. Bach's Passion According to St. Matthew. We'll do a very brief study, because any study you do in an hour of radio on something like this can be nothing but brief. We'll be talking with Dr. Robert Barrett, who joins us here in Studio A, about St. Matthew's Passion According to Bach. And we will be hearing bits and pieces. I doubt we'll really do it justice, however, but we'll do it the very best we can in the first hour of Issues Etc. Dr. Robert Barrett is director of the American Contrari, which produces Bach at the SEM. In the second hour of the program, Dr. David Adams joins us. He will also join us here in Studio A. The subject, Iraq in the Bible, what ancient archaeological sites have lay hidden for, the last quarter of a century behind the borders of Iraq, places like Nineveh, Ur of the Chaldees, perhaps even the Garden of Eden? We'll talk about that in the second hour of the program. He's associate professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. The third hour is open lines for your questions and your comments. We're here a little bit from Richard Land, a little bit from Senator Brownback. They were at a recent pro-Israel rally. We will find out precisely what they had to say, and I'd like your reaction to it as well during open lines in the third hour of Issues Etc. Dr. Robert Barrett joins me here in Studio A. He is director of the American Contrari, which also produces Bach at the SEM. Dr. Barrett, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. I'm always happy to be in the studio at KFUO and talk about my favorite subject, Johann Sebastian Bach and his works.
Before we talk about Bach and his works, I need to compliment you, because recently at one of the Bach at the SEM productions, you invited a children's choir composed of many children from many different area Lutheran schools to come and sing with the American Contrari and to perform Bach's works, and it was sublime. It was beautiful. Wonderfully put together.
Thank you, Todd. That was in January, and seven local congregations. And it's really turned out to be that our origins of these children were far more than just seven congregations. But specifically, we did rehearse children from those seven congregations locally. But then here on the seminary campus, for example, there were nine children, and I think they came from different parishes, every one of them. And so we had quite a collection of 54 children. And it was an event rather than a concert. It was a glorious moment.
You took the opportunity during that concert to teach the children about Bach, to teach them about the music, about the way it is properly performed. My daughter happened to be in that choir that was selected from those.
Oh, really?
And so I had a special reason to be there. But even beyond a father's pride, it was quite magnificent. Thank you for bringing that to us.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was like a workshop for children to get into the study of Johann Sebastian Bach, just a little bit, and then we continued the workshop really in public, right in our concert. I didn't mean for that to be so much a masterful performance after we've had 9 months of rehearsal. It wasn't that at all. We had about five or six brief meetings, and maybe not all the children came to all of those. So it wasn't over-rehearsed, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But what it was a practicing workshop in the spirit and the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, and I extended that right into the performance.
Now let's talk about Bach himself. Most people have probably heard the name in passing. Some may be more familiar with the man. Tell us about him.
What can I say in a few moments about such a master? Well, I could say that he had two wives, that he had 21 children, and five outlived him. That's all out of 21. Can you imagine that? Only five lived beyond his death. He was at numerous places in his life, but the longest tenure he had was in Leipzig, Germany. That's Saxony, that's East German, and a little Southeast German, large city of culture. And the largest church in that particular town was the St. Thomas Church. And it was to this church that he was called. And he spent the last 27 years of his compositional and performing life at St. Thomas in Leipzig. And he wrote well over 200 cantatas, most of them being church cantatas. There were some what we today called, with in quotation marks, secular, and oratorios like the St. John's, the St. Matthew's, which we'll do now on Palm Sunday and Holy Week Tuesday. And he did the B minor mass, and he did four other masses. So what else can I say in a short moment? But He was a composer. He was an organist par excellence, and he was a teacher of children and young men. That's who sang in his choir. He didn't have women in his choir. And he was given to preaching through music. If we know the word kerygma, which you and I know, but to our audience it means the preaching of the gospel of God in the person Jesus Christ. Bach was dedicated to do that in and through his music.
And I know I'm asking a lot again of you to answer this one shortly, but his influence, not only in the church, but outside the church.
It's phenomenal. I spent nearly 10 years in Japan previously in my life. And one of the strongest Christian messages that could be stated in Japan was happening through the music of Bach, and it's still happening. I've been back now 7-8 years from Japan, but it's amazing how strong he is there. In Africa, they've heard, I've just on the sidewalk the other day learned from one of our missionaries or would-be missionaries in the near future from Africa. He knew of Christianity through hearing about Bach, not even hearing Bach, but hearing that there was such a great man who preached Christ through his music, and then he went to hear him, and he became influenced. But it's true on the continent, in Europe, in USA, in Japan, around the in China, it's very strong. In Hong Kong, it's very strong. So in Asia right now, the current thing to be in is to know Bach and to do Bach.
Tell us about St. Matthew's Passion.
St. Matthew's Passion is a marvelous study on the worthy and the unworthy, the guilty, the not guilty. It's like a forensic exercise, a courtroom scene almost, in the Matthew of the Passion of St. Matthew. Matthew is wants to point up so strongly that it is Christ who was sinless, who was not guilty, took upon himself your sin, my sin, the sin of the world, and saw it even to death. And that's where Bach picks up, and he is so strong on this point. I didn't happen to ask your engineer today to play for us the number which is called Aus Liebe, out of love. I said 2 nights ago in my rehearsal of the soprano, Catherine Steeler, and the wonderful flute of Paula Cassica, and the two English horns, here is the center of the Matthew Passion. Out of love, aus Liebe, Christ has died that we might not see death. And here he arranges in, about 4 minutes of playing time, 7 fermatas, which is unusual in him. But he extends time, and then there's an enormous break afterwards before you go on. And he draws attention to 2 words, out of love, aus Liebe, sollen nicht sterben, you will not die because of this great love of God in Christ Jesus. That's the heart of Matthew. That's the heart of Bach's Passion. And I think that's a synoptic view of the St. Matthew's Passion.
Why was it originally composed by Bach? What was the setting and the occasion?
For centuries, in Holy Week, they appointed the Gospel of John to be read on one night like Monday, Mark on Tuesday. Traditionally, musical settings, which were a cappella in the time of Praetorius and Palestrina and earlier, Heinrich Schütz, Hassler, Victoria, these are just some of the composers. On Good Friday, the Matthew Passion was done. Well, Bach picks up that tradition, but he adds instruments. He had been in Dresden with his sons watching opera, and he brought back that influence to Leipzig. Now, that was good and that was bad. He started this in April of 1727 on Good Friday. He repeated and did this in the 30s. He did it again in 36, and he was scheduled to do it in 44. And here's the bad part, Todd. The town's council just said, they didn't state this in writing. We don't know in writing. We've just had too much of you, Mr. Bach, and your instruments in church, and your big oratorio, the St. Matthew's Passion. And they closed him down. They didn't let him perform it in 44, and he never performed it again until his death, even during his lifetime. It's a sad story, but it was welcomed in 27. In 32, in 36, it was welcomed, but his fourth performance probably never saw the light of day. He had it all rehearsed, the instruments were rehearsed, and it's reported now in our most recent findings in the 40s, the town's council, and he had a complete separation of ideas. Bach also, alongside of this, did his St. John's Passion, which I've done numerous times here, about a dozen or 15 times on this campus. This, by the way, will be the first time I do the St. Matthew's. It's double long. It's almost 4 hours. That's why we're only play a few minutes of it. He said earlier we can't do it justice. It's a long song. It's very, very long. The John is only half that. It's almost 2 hours, not quite. He also had a Mark and a Luke, but they've been lost. We just don't have the manuscripts.
Let's move right into the first piece that we will hear. Tell us what we are about to hear, Dr. Barrett, and what we should be listening for in this first part of St. Matthew's Passion by J.S. Bach.
This chorus, again, is hangs under that Aus Liebe, out of love, and the death of Christ bought for us who are guilty a presence in God, and we will live eternally. This is saying it in the very opening chorus. I like to look at the opening chorus like an umbrella. There's a huge umbrella that's spread out. That's in the chorale of the children's voices that we will hear, the Knaben Chor, the boys' choir. And that stands out, sheltering the faithful underneath. The people underneath the umbrella, there are two choirs, a first choir and a second choir. Just number them 1 and 2. Number one says, "Come, you daughters. Come, help me with my complaining before God, with my lament." Then they shout out, "Behold." And second choir says, "Well, what should we see?" First choir says, "Look at him." "Well, how should we behold him?" "Like a lamb." Then choir one again says, look again. "At what?" And then the first choir answers, "Look at him in his patience." Then again they say, "Behold, but where should we look?" "To our own guilt," answers one. Todd, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Zayats.
Look,
behold. 5 hours on the cross. This is Bach. He's always in numbers telling us something. So like 5 hours on the cross, there are five looks. And choir two shouts really dramatically, "Where should we look? How should we look? To whom should we look? Look where?" And the answers are to the bridegroom, to the lamb, to his patience. Our guilt is on his shoulders. And finally it concludes, "Behold him out of love and mercy. He bears the wood of his own cross." Now above that, Todd, are those boys singing the chorale, "O Lamb of God, innocently slaughtered on the wood of the cross, found patient always, although you were scorned and despised. All sin you have borne, else we would despair and lose heart. Have mercy on us, O Jesus."
Thank you.
We're talking about J.S. Bach's Passion According to St. Matthew here on Issues Etc. Our guest, Dr. Robert Barrett, director of the American Contrarai, which also produces Bach at the SEM. I'll tell you about that in just a few minutes. Would you reflect a few moments upon what we just heard and briefly introduce what we'll hear after the break?
My mature singers, I'm saying that by age and also sound, will be broken into two groups like we've just heard in this chorus, Chorus 1 and Chorus 2. And I hope to make the chorale melody and text even more meaningful on Palm Sunday night by adding the treble voices from the Westminster Christian Academy Choir. Those 65 voices are coming to add to our numbers to make over 100 singers singing the chorales. And in this opening, that's the chorale, O Lamm Gottes Unschuldig. And I hope everybody hears that. And then, as I said earlier, it'll be like an umbrella over the whole thing of being worthy or unworthy. We're unworthy. Christ is the worthy one. And that'll catapult us right into the person of Judas here in a few moments.
Now, this number 8 aria that we will be hearing when we come back from the break, you have some rather unique insights about this. With about a minute, would you tell us about that?
Yes, I think it's addressed to the mother of Judas. Todd, where in hymnody, where in poetry is the mother of Judas considered? The mother of Jesus has gotten a lot of ink, if you will, in books and in the biblical records and in hymnody and in whole services like the Magnificat and so on. But where is the despair, the total embarrassment of the mother of Judas ever considered? It is right here in the St. Matthew's Passion, and that's the next place we'll take up.
When we come back from the break, we will be hearing the number 8 aria from St. Matthew's Passion, according to St. Bach. We're studying in brief fashion this great work. Dr. Robert Barrett is our guest, director of the American Contrarai, which produces Bach at the SEM. Bach at the SEM will be offering a two-part presentation of Bach's Passion According to St. Matthew at the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Now, the first part will be offered at 7 in the evening on Palm Sunday, April the 13th. That's 7 o'clock in the evening on Palm Sunday, April the 13th, on the campus of Concordia Seminary at the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus. Part 2 will be on Tuesday, April the 15th at 7 o'clock at the campus of Concordia Seminary at the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus. If you'd like more information on Bach at the SEM, this two-part performance of The Passion of St. Matthew by the American Contrarai and others, you can call the number 314-505-7370. That's 314-505-7370. That's for information about Bach at the SEM. When we come back, Dr. Barrett says, where else is the mother of Judas considered? But here in the 8th aria of St. Matthew, the St. Matthew's Passion, according to St. Bach, by all means bleed, you dearest heart, O child whom you've raised, who rested upon your breast, threatens to kill his guardian, for he is become a serpent. We'll hear that performed more eloquently than I can read it when we come back. We're talking about St. Bach's Passion according to St. Matthew. I'm sorry, J.S. Bach's Passion. He is a saint now, isn't he? J.S. Bach's Passion according to St. Matthew. Dr. Robert Barrett is our guest. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If Christian doctrine can be true or false, can Christian practice also be true or false? Is Christian practice always neutral? What's the relationship between Christian doctrine and Christian practice? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. You'll find answers to these questions in the latest edition of the Issues, Etc. Journal. I've written an article titled Doctrine and Practice, and you can receive a complimentary copy of the Issues, Etc. Journal by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. I've also written an article on the Lord's Supper titled Responding to Real Absence Arguments. Plus, you'll find a list of tape and book resources on issues such as American evangelicalism, church history, biblical interpretation, and much more. Ask to receive a complimentary copy of the Issues, Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172.
Now this Global Minute focuses prayer on Christians who are using their skills to teach overseas. Government officials from around the world are constantly asking for teachers. Ron Nicholas is president of Educational Services International, and he says one place that needs Christian teachers is the Eastern European country of Hungary.
This summer in Hungary, we have the opportunity to serve in a refugee camp. We'll be teaching English to a variety of people. These people have fled from Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, or the Sudan.
ESI sends teams of Christian teachers for summer and year-long programs teaching English, business, law, and even special education. Pray that these teachers can share their faith with spiritually hungry students. Learn more by calling ESI at 1-800-895-7955 or on the internet at teachoverseas.org. That's teachoverseas.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute, a prayer for this time of war. Almighty God, we appeal to you in this time of battle. As David relied on you when he faced Goliath, we commend to your protection our young men and women. Visit, we pray, the homes of those whose hearts are anxious because a husband or wife, a parent or child, is serving in this war. Sit, we pray, with those who have been devastated by death. Dress their wounded souls with the comfort you alone know best. O God, let us not pray foolishly. We are sinners who have so often ignored your will and gone our own self-centered way rather than walk in the path of your commandments. Our society has increasingly accepted choices and lifestyles that are condemned by your word. We have concocted for ourselves a civil religion that vainly imagines you to be our servant and ignores your holiness and justice. For all this and more, give us true sorrow and lift us to the cross of forgiveness. Only because of mercy shown to sinners dare we seek your help, and so we appeal for mercy in Jesus' name.
Do you own shares of stock that have appreciated in value? If you do, you may want to consider using some of those shares as a gift to KFUO Radio. The LCMS Foundation is able to accept gifts of stock for the benefit of KFUO. There's tax laws to consider when giving shares of stock. An LCMS gift planning counselor is available to meet with you to maximize your tax savings. If you'd like to hear more, call Janelle Flerke at 1-888-930-4438.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., a two-hour discussion on American civil religion. Dr. David Adams, who joins us here in the next hour of the program, will also join us for a two-hour discussion on American civil religion tomorrow on Issues Etc. Also, Pastor Eric Rotman, co-author of the book To All Eternity, joins us to talk about the essential teachings of Christianity tomorrow on Issues Etc. We're looking at Bach's Passion According to St. Matthew. During this hour of Issues, Etc., Dr. Robert Barrett, director of the American Contrary, is our guest. Dr. Barrett, you wanted to say something about my slips of the tongue before our break, referring to J.S. Bach as Saint Bach.
The slip that sank the ship. Well, I think if the King of Sweden could canonize Johann Sebastian Bach and call him the fifth evangelist, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Bach, it was fitting that on this day in 2003 that Todd Wilken, the Right Reverend station AM manager and profiler, Todd Wilken has properly called Bach Saint Bach. I thank you. Very wonderful that you've canonized him.
Now, before the break, we spoke briefly about your insight into this number 8 aria we're about to hear with only a few minutes.
I know of no hymn verse, I know of no poet, I don't know anywhere else in literature, and this is extra biblical, certainly right here, this poem that's before us, that considers Judas' mother. And the reason I've gone to it for our little broadcast here today, Todd, is this is the depth of depravity. If I had betrayed the Son of God with a kiss for a few pieces of silver, And then you'd think of the mother of me doing that. This is the depth of depravity, but none of us is any less or any more guilty. Our sin is on the Christ. But here is the mother of Judas that's being considered. She is the one who bore this child through her birth pang. She's the one who nourished him at her breast. And now he becomes the betrayer of his own guardian, his own master, his own teacher. In fact, then the author of this text goes on to say, Judas has become a snake, a schlange. And just listen on the words of schlange and the betrayal of the gezogen and the gezogen. These are for the nourishment and the giving the birth pangs to give the birth to Judas. How Bach goes through enormous twisting and turning of colors and of keys. Here now, this passage from number 8 in the St. Matthew's Passion by Bach.
Thank you.
We're talking about Bach's Passion According to St. Matthew. Dr. Robert Baird is our guest, director of the American Contrari. We just heard this short aria of, it was the number 8 aria that Dr. Baird has come to believe makes reference to or is being sung to in this great passion, the mother of Judas, the betrayer of the Christ. Now we move on to this recitative, the number 61 recitative, which is Christ on the cross. Now you have both conducted and performed enough Bach to notice when something changes, when Bach does something in his arrangement. What's happening here that you want to take note of?
I'll begin by just going back to Christmas a little bit. In his Christmas oratorio, whenever Jesus sings the words from, and that's a composite of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Christmas oratorio. We just don't have it from one author like Matthew. But whenever Jesus sings, there's the halo of the woodwind instruments, flutes and the obodomores or the oboes, which surround the words of Christ and accompany him. Here in the Matthew Passion, there is the sound of the string orchestra, violin 1, 2, viola, cello, and contrabass, the lusciousness, the warmth of strings, and we call these halos of sound. Like there's when we see a depiction of Christ in a painting, sometimes there's that glow around his head. That's a halo. And what Bach does, he surrounds the word of Christ, the person of Christ, with this halo. But what's unique, and that's why I've gone here to this little excerpt today to play for our audience, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? To score this, to stress this, to communicate this, Bach drops violin 1, 2, and the viola. Virtually the halo is gone because Christ is now all but dead on the cross, and these are his last words in Matthew. Well, I guess he says, you say so once more. But this is the separation of the Father and the Holy Spirit from the Son, Christ, who dies. And so Bach, to paint this, drops the halo away. We'll hear the evangelist introduce this. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Then the evangelist repeats it. He says, that is. And then he says it in his own language, in German, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing this said, this man is calling on Elijah, Elias in German. Now we'll hear this excerpt from Bach's St. Matthew Passion.
Und von der sechsten Stunde an war eine Finsternis über das ganze Land bis zu der neunten Stunde. Stunde schrie Jesus laut und sprach, Eli, Eli, lama. Aber die da stunden, da sie das hörten, sprachen sie,
der Gott wird nicht mehr gehen lassen.
Und bald lief einer unter ihnen,
We're listening to Bach's Passion According to St. Matthew in parts, here on Issues, Etc. Dr. Robert Barrett is our guest. That was Christ from the cross calling out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, beyond that unique moment, the next piece that we're going to hear, because our time runs short, this is the final, if I'm not mistaken.
We call it, Todd,
the final piece.
The Schlusschor in German is called the closing chorus. It's the end of all of the Passion, and it's brought to a wonderful synopsis here in number 68.
What does it have to say? What should we be listening for here?
Well, this is finally the faithful's response to the entire Passion narrative. The chorales that have been sung, the arias, the recitatives, the turbulent choirs from the crowd, and so on. Finally, in agreement, in faith, we fall down before you in tears and call to you in the grave, O Savior, rest gently, gently rest. There's another stanza to it. Rest, you worn, exhausted members, that means of his body. Let your grave and tombstone be to the fearful conscience a comforting rest, a cushion, and a resting place for our souls. Deeply content, let the eyes close in sleep. And then the first part, we fall prostrate, we fall down in tears, and call to you in the grave, rest gently, rest gently.
It needs to be remembered here that this is a Good Friday piece of music, so that Christ is in the grave dead on Good Friday.
But you know, this music, Todd, is not funereal in the old sense. It's funereal in the Lutheran sense. There's joy, there's hope, there's looking forward in this music. I said to the chorus and the orchestra when we rehearsed it just the other night, Bach leaps out of himself, out of the Baroque period. He leaps ahead 100 years into the heart of Johann Brahms. This is Brahms' music. This is Brahms' sentiment when we hear this beautiful chorus, Wir setzen uns in Tränen nieder. We place ourselves lying down with our faces in the dust in tears because of all what's happened here. But raising up in faith, there is the joy of the empty tomb, the promise of heaven, the promise of eternal life. It's in the music. It is so gorgeous. It's so sumptuous. This double choir piece with orchestra, double chorus, and double orchestra as well.
Let's hear this.
Thank you.
very few places on Christian radio will you hear not only a study of, as brief as this has been, but the Passion itself, according to St. Matthew, and composed by J.S. Bach. Dr. Robert Barrett is our guest. Some concluding thoughts, if you would, a synopsis and a summary and final thoughts on this, the Passion of St. Matthew.
In this St. Matthew Passion, we have drama, deep drama. We have pathos. We have love. We have a story which unfolds. We have meditation. We have prayer. We have application of the message. Bach is not only giving us a narrative, he is preaching the gospel of God in Jesus Christ. And the faithful have so many opportunities, in fact, 15 opportunities to respond in words for the congregation in the chorales, and finally in this chorus to bid adieu to the Son of God who is in earth's bosom. Judas' betrayal, that's the height of our guilt, not only his, ours. And Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, the words of Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This drama, the disappearance of the halo which ordinarily surrounds the head of Christ, gone. He's dead in the bosom of the earth. But right in that death rises hope, joy, the fruition of faith, life everlasting. Bach promises this in faith to everyone who believes according to the Passion in Matthew.
Very briefly, we were noting that this is not something, this way of conceiving of Christ, even on Good Friday nowadays, the dead Jesus, that there is hope in Jesus in the grave as well as raised from the dead. It's not a popular way of thinking about Jesus today.
I think with the preached word from the pulpit, our meditations and our writings today, we shy from talking about the Son of God died. But it's in the songs. I think of Grieg, God's Son died. He's dead. And he was forsaken by the Father. He was forsaken by the Holy Spirit, only to be conjoined and raised up again. But we're afraid of it. No, Bach had no fear of it, and nor did St. Matthew. We have to say what's in the Holy Scripture.
Dr. Robert Barrett, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues, Etc. again. Dr. Robert Barrett is director of the American Contrarii. They produce Bach at the SEM. There will be a two-part presentation of J.S. Bach's Passion According to St. Matthew at the Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Part one will be offered at 7 in the evening, Palm Sunday, April the 13th. The second part will be 2 days later on Tuesday evening, April the 15th, at 7 in the evening as well. If you'd like information on this two-part presentation of J.S. Bach's Passion According to St. Matthew, you can call area code 314-505-7370. That's 505-7370. When we come back from this break, Dr. David Adams will join us here in Studio A. What archaeological treasures, sites, undiscovered things lie hidden behind the borders of modern-day Iraq? More than you might think, and much has already been discovered there. We'll find out about that when we come back after this break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.